I am Greg, and I know the weirding way.
Wait, I hope what's his name makes a reappearance from our previous podcast episode about Klaus or the ravers, the German.
Oh yeah, German ravers from the David Lynch version.
I can guarantee they're not gonna
with the umchika umchika.
The spring awakening.
We will bring the worms, and we will have a worm party. Yeah.
Okay, we'll edit all that out. But I just like
off the rails already.
So sweet.
I love Mr. Lynch. He lets us do whatever we want.
Yeah, we did not get invited to this episodes of the podcast.
We also love all the blue eyes. It is very Teutonic.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that.
They didn't do the blue eyes. Yeah, yeah.
Right, except for the mother.
All right, we gotta let him do
it. I got an intro to fucking read here. All right.
He was not. It's distracting to me.
Yeah.
I was like, this is distracting because I know I'm watching Christopher Walken and he's like, I'm the emperor and I'm very old, but also the sandworms should be talked about. And I was just like, this is so fucking distracting.
I didn't think it was that distracting. No, I think you did a pretty good job of playing it
to me.
Pretty.
I agree. Literally, I was talking to colleagues today at work, and the one thing they brought up is that the one out of place character was Christopher Walken. He's the one actor in it that takes you out of that world and is Christopher Walken. You're just like, oh, that seems weird. I totally agreed after they said that. I was like, you know what? You're right. Like, it's kind of distracting and just out of place.
It'd be like Adam Sandler is the emperor or something. Like, oh, wow.
Another sidebar. I do have to say, I saw it twice. The first time I saw it on IMAX, it was fantastic. Second time, I saw it in 4D. Have you ever?
Yeah, I've done 4D shit.
You've done 4D.
I used to work at the Shedd Aquarium, and they had a 4D theater.
Is that like where the chair shakes?
Water in your face.
The chairs move. Oh, really?
Blasts moisture in your face. There was a little hose
fart smell
between
up at you.
My calves that like inflates with air and it wiggles around. They like every time there's like a laser or a gunshot or something like that, they're like puffing air in your ears.
So it's all the shit that you hate about movie theaters, like kid kicking you in the back of the chair.
Oh my god,
was it bad? Like
it was bad. It was
fucking
terrible.
Irritating as hell.
There was only like two situations I think that I thought like this actually enhances the experience, and one was like the camera work where it like slowly goes over the dunes, like it slowly rises. The chairs would like give you the feeling that you're like flying kind of, you know, like with the camera. That was cool. And then there's like they're punching Paul's about to ride the worm. He's like punching the sand and you can like feel the vibration. Like that was cool. Everything else fucking sucked. That was so dumb. Like every time they went from indoor to outdoor, these fans would fucking kick on. You hear the motor and it'd be like blasting you in the face with cold air.
Did they add shit?
No, because there's a smell.
The worm smell.
Yeah, it was advertised as there's an aroma, and I was like, okay,
I don't want an aroma.
I've read the books. I know spice smells like cinnamon. I'm getting ready for smelling some cinnamon. There's no cinnamon. It was like maple or some shit. Some weird, and you're only sort of maple vaguely spice. Aware of it.
It's a Starbucks flavor. Is that maple spice?
I was like, do I smell something? Is that my imagination? Like, it was very subtle, but then by the end you're like, yeah, no, they're doing that on purpose, and it's like kind of off-putting. I mean, it's vaguely pleasant but also just kind of weird.
And you probably paid more for this experience.
It was only like $5 more than a regular ticket, which was God. Made me feel a little bit better, but I still felt ripped off at the end. I was like, this was so distracting, like the entire time. I felt bad for the people who I was with because that was the first time they were seeing the movie. And I was like, God, I feel like
did you pick this experience or something?
I asked them if they wanted to do that. And they're like, yeah, let's try it out. We've never done it before. So I was like, all right, it might suck, but it sucked.
Each seat has a little hose that blows sand in your face.
Yeah, but there was a button.
Can't see.
Allows you to turn the moisture on and off because there's and it kicked on during the Twisters preview for the new Twister movie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it was Twister, like yes. I had a drink, then I didn't have a drink because that shit was fucking everywhere. And then it blasts you in the face with like it feels like spit because it's just moisture. And I was like, nope, turning that off. I do not need that experience. But that was like, you could still feel it. There was like puffs going everywhere during these scenes. And during like knife fights, like someone gets stabbed, like run through, and it's like a massage chair. You feel like a knuckle right in your back. I cannot say enough bad things about fucking 4D. Let's never, as a society, we don't need this. This is so dumb. Yeah,
the Shedd Aquarium had a built-in 4D theater, and when my son was really little, I took him to Ice Age: Dawn of the Dinosaurs because I was just walking around, and I was like, "Hey, buddy, do you want to see the movie?" And he was like, "Okay," you know, he was like three or something. So I bring him into this movie, and it's a 4D theater. And first thing that happens is like this mother T-Rex comes out and is like, ah! And the chairs shake and like the sound is like volume 400, and he just shits his pants. He's just like, ah! Take him out of there. So I take him out of the 4D theater. He's crying and crying and crying. And this guy, Joseph Nixon, who's like the nicest dude who ran the whole theater and audience experience, comes over and he's like, oh, is it okay, buddy? Are you okay? I was like, he got scared about it, you know, and he was like, the sloth was scared because it was like the dinosaur was yelling at a sloth. Mm-hmm. And then the guy's like, yeah, it was scary. It was scary. But Grant remembered that moment afterward as the guy coming and warning me first and then me bringing him in anyway. And I was like, no.
Terrible, Greg.
He warned you after I didn't drag you into a theater after a stern warning.
Greg, that's fucked up, man.
It was. Yeah. I did not have done that. Don't bring a small child to a 4D theater. It'll scare the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's so bad.
That's the warning to the audience. 4D theater is not
4D theater sucks.
Especially for Dune.
For everything. It sucks for everything.
Unless you got that popcorn bucket in 4D.
Oh, yeah, the popcorn. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's why they made the bucket that Jesus way. Christ. To keep the bucket, to keep the popcorn in.
Not suitable for theater.
Keep the popcorn in is why they made the
bucket. Not suitable for theater. You get your little booth.
I did go to an AMC theater the first time to see it, and they were selling those, and I was like,
I had to get one.
I can't even ironically buy this. This is so so horrible.
It'd be funny just to have it behind you as a prop, material.
No. During that scene in the 4D, I mean,
I want to know what happened.
Like shaking all over the place, and then I got hit in the face with a blast of like moist air.
Jesus
and like
Christ.
The nerdy side of me was like, motherfucker, I'm on Arrakis. There's no moisture in the air. You are completely taking me out
of
this.
Suck the moisture out of dead people. It's so dry there. Christ.
How do the subsequent books rank from the first one?
Oh, Jesus, man.
Do they go downhill?
How many are there?
Six. What I would call canon books that were written by Frank Herbert before he died. And then everything after that was picked up by his son,
Tim Herbert,
Brian Herbert. Please don't sue us, Herbert Estate. And Kevin J. Anderson, who's another sci-fi author. Those are terrible. They're all terrible.
Written by Jim Davis of Garfield fame.
But they're not considered.
I sure hate Mondays on Arrakis.
Sandworms are like tiger stripes on.
So
looking for lasagna.
Eat lasagna. The lasagna worms are a little lasagna itchy today.
Do his son's books fall?
He tries to plug in the gaps and stuff. So actually,
in the timeline, did they pick up where his father's work left off, or is he trying to do like
he goes
the parallel
does prequels
timeline?
And shit? Oh, okay. He does like thousand years before, gotcha. And he just like takes. There's a character. Let's find out how they came about. Like,
exactly. You know. That's what I was saying about prequels last time. They suck. They're always like nobody wants. Let's figure out how these two characters met. I'm like, I don't care. Yeah.
It's terrible.
We know they all die. So
except for exactly. Like this guy becomes Darth Vader later. Do I really need to know how good he is at pod racing?
No, absolutely not. No one does.
Fucking
even worse than that. He's like, here's a concept that was mentioned once. Let's do a whole trilogy on that concept.
Yeah.
Here's a house. Ever want to know where that house came from? We're gonna fucking make a planet and write about it. It's terrible. It's just awful.
It's like how the Simpsons. Like, but it's like how the Simpsons has been on for 34 years. So they're like, remember Hans Moleman? Let's have a whole episode where we find out Hans Moleman got his glasses. And you're like, yeah, you guys ran out of ideas. Clearly,
Moleman lore.
So it's Dune. And then is it Dune Messiah next?
Dune Messiah, Children of Dune, God Emperor of Dune.
Okay.
Heretics of Dune, Chapter House Dune. So that's Dune
canon.
Dune Messiah happens 12 years after the events of Dune. Children of Dune happens, I don't know how long, like maybe another 10, 15 years after that. God Emperor of Dune happens 3,500 fucking years after Children of Dune. And there's a lot of the same characters because a lot of weird shit happens.
Poor Brian Herbert. 3,500 years? I got to fill 3,500 years? Jesus Christ, Dad.
Then Heretics of Dune is like another 4,000 years after God Emperor of Dune. And then Christ. Chapter House Dune happens right after Heretics of Dune. And there was supposed to be another book after that, but Frank Herbert died and left his notes in a safe deposit box. And guess who had the key to him? His son.
His untalented son.
I'm going to write a bunch of books based off my dad's notes. So you got to buy them, right?
Pop would be so proud of me.
And I did buy them.
Yeah, I did. Everyone.
I actually did read the first three that he wrote thinking they would be good. It was like it was about House Harkonnen, House Atreides, and House Carino, which is the Emperor's house. And it was terrible. Like fan fiction. It was really meh. But anyway, which one's the best? My favorite out of all of them is God Emperor of Dune, right smack dab in the middle. I feel like Dune Messiah gets a lot of hate, but I think it's actually a really interesting book. But action wise, there's not a lot of action. So it'll be interesting to see how he makes this movie. Children of Dune is great. A lot of action, a lot of, taking characters that existed in the first couple books and like fleshing them out, and they get a lot more to do, lots more like political intrigue and backstabbing and all that kind of stuff. And it sets in motion for God Emperor. God Emperor is basically a philosophical tome, like set with like a weird descendant of Paul Muad'Dib who is half worm, half man.
Oh, come on.
I'm not even fucking kidding.
Come on. Does it play cards with the spider bug man?
Nope. Muad'Dib.
Friday nights.
Muad'Dib. We're not even talking about the spider man.
Yeah. So I won't ruin it, but that like, yeah, the descendant of Paul he's the God Emperor of the universe. And he's figured out a way to like become a human worm hybrid.
Jesus Christ. It sounds terrible.
No, it does sound terrible. It sounds fucking terrible on paper, but it is great. I promise you.
Are you going to reread the books before Messiah? He does the next one?
I will reread Messiah, yeah. But no, I like to come back and just read God Emperor of Dune every now and again because it's really, really dense with a lot of just philosophy. Like he used that as basically just a avenue to have his weird philosophical theories through the mouthpiece of a fucking worm man. So it's all these like soliloquies. It's like he's like floating on this little cart talking to his minions and going on about, oh, you know, humanity and their penchant for setting up governments with only three legs. You know what they say about governments with only three legs. It's like all that shit. It's the entire book of it.
And you like
just,
that?
I'm not doing it justice. It is actually brilliantly written, and there's just a ton in there that is like worth mulling over. So I'll go to the mat over God Emperor of Dune being fantastic. But a lot of people, they don't care for it.
Worm Dune.
Yeah. And then Heretics and Chapter House are fucking super weird, and there's villains that come from the other side of the galaxy who are escaping something, but they're it focuses really heavily on the Bene Gesserit, like the last two, like they basically become the Atreides, like they're the main focus of the story moving forward, which I think is interesting once you get to that point, because then you go back and reread Dune and you see the Bene Gesserit like a completely new light. So
but I mean, does he like lose the thread?
No, absolutely not. No, it is
like,
I mean, he packs a lot more in there, but there is a thread that is prevalent in Dune. It's there in the book, and you don't know it until you get to God and Emperor of Dune. That's what he was talking about.
Okay.
So he did a fantastic job. I mean, he's not like Dune isn't considered one of the greatest works of science fiction for no reason. Like there's a lot there.
Did you guys think at any point, like, there were, I didn't think about it too much, but there were parts in this second one where I was thinking, is this the right actor to play Paul?
Yeah.
Like, I felt like that a little bit, like, he's a little frail, a little small. Like, I don't know, like to be this, like, great fighter thing. Like, I don't know. I think Timothy Chalamet is a good actor. I just, there's some part of it, there was like a very small part of me that was like in disbelief of like, this would be somebody that everybody would get behind. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think he does a great job with it. And I'm not like, just like every once in a while, I'm like, is that believable? Like, you know, he's kind of, you know, like, is this a great, I think you look at the Lynch version.
I think he's perfect in part one. You can train someone in battle and like, you can be a rich little punk who knows how to stab, you know, you can teach martial arts to someone, you can teach, you know, techniques, fighting techniques, but you're still a little rich dilettante, you know. He's like the rich son of a king, and you know, not ready to lead, not ready for real action, not ready for anything. And then he gets cast out and his life gets turned upside down. I wish they had roughed him up a little in the second movie, like shaved his head, you know, like have give him stubble, you know, on his head instead. You know, I don't know if that dude can grow a beard, but like, you know, rough like him up a little. And
he's just kind of like a pretty boy the whole time.
Because when he comes back as transformed leader Paul Muad'Dib, you know, like, I mean, they don't do the blue eyes thing, so that's something that they drop. I kind of think they should have done the blue eyes, because mm-hmm. His mother gets it when she drinks the water.
They made it really subtle. I mean, his eyes were bluish.
Ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
but it's...
They just went subtle across the board for most of them, except for Jessica.
But I feel like that Brian is onto something. Like, they need to have him physically transform as well and not just be... look like a pretty boy son of a king who just has different clothes, you know.
Yeah. Like he's like, he just becomes this like great fighting desert warrior in 9 months. Like, it's like you need to, that part was a little, I get why he's doing it that way, but it's like, they didn't change him at all. They just like gave him dirty clothes. Hair and like, it's like, oh, he still looks like a prince. Like
his hair is insured by Lloyds of London for £1 million. so you can't chop it off.
So it's a weird thing where it's like good actor, but it feels a little off in a way, not like in the Christopher Walken off where you're like,
shoehorned him distracting as hell. Yeah.
But it's just kind of like, I think they could have like, messed him up a little or something, you know, like
Fuck him up a little bit. Yeah.
Cause I think like they do a better job with like Zendaya as Chani, kind of like, you know, just like then the rest of the Fremen too, especially like Stilgar, whatever, like he fits kind of in perfectly with, but again, to your point, maybe he can't grow a beard. I don't know.
Yeah. Right.
So, like where he needs to look a little different, but,
I mean, this movie is full of beautiful, attractive people, you know, like everyone in this movie is, you know, almost a model, you know. Yeah, like, you know, but they rough them all up, you know, like James, you know, Josh Brolin looks like he's been through a, you know, like a war, you know. Even Harry Montana or whatever the hell Momoa's name is,
Duncan
Idaho. Fucking, yeah, they rough him up a little even too, even though he's still kind of, you know, there are attractive people that they rough up and you know, make them look like they've been through wars and battles and, you know, lived in the desert for, you know, decades and stuff like that. And Chalamet is the one person where they're like,
well, he doesn't change at all.
They skates don't give right like through.
A exactly. Sunburn. They don't get
skates right through.
Nothing.
Yep. Like,
yeah, it was a big job.
I can't just wait to see him do the half worm, man worm.
Yeah, I know. No, right? He's not just, who will play the half worm?
Christopher Walken is the man worm.
Never coming out.
I'm back from boot kissing, and I am in control. Feed me people.
It's making me think of the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland.
One makes you smaller.
Google the Dune covers. Like no. The cover of God of Dune has like what's essentially the fucking caterpillar from.
Goddamn,
worship me.
Sitting on a mushroom. Smoking.
I'm sorry, it's hard to take you seriously as a leader. You look fucking right. So ridiculous.
You're half worm? What?
Which half of you is worm?
He's actually like 80% worm.
Oh no, I'm actually 80% worm.
He's got a person's body, but like a worm head. That's what I want to see. Little legs walking under this huge worm ball.
That's the wrong combo for this leadership.
That's what I want.
I'm going to Google it. Which one is it? That's
God Emperor of Dune.
He looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah. Really? Now I got to look this shit up.
It's like Jabba the Hutt meets the Sphinx.
All right. Well, do we have any other topics?
Oh my God! Just look, just Google it, and then look at the just the image search.
Yeah, yeah. There's some good ones.
There's some awesome ones.
There's some good ones.
It's like the Sphinx. If the Sphinx were a poop, it's the poop Sphinx. Holy shit! That's such a terrible drawing.
MySpace avatar for a long time.
I would never buy this book ever if I saw that cover.
I swear to God, it is a really, really great story.
It looks so stupid.
If you can get the book on tape, do that.
The book on tape has a break where he's like, now picture this. A giant poop with the head of the Sphinx. Look at this one.
Yeah, this is the part where
you share my clip. I'm going to share mine.
It's a share button at the bottom.
Screen. Where is it? Can you see this one? Look at it.
That's the version I have.
It looks like a turd.
That's the edition of book I have. That's the cover.
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap. It's so fucking dumb. Oh, my God. It looks so amateurish.
I'm going to start reading Dune Messiah.
Do it. Mm-hmm. Dune it.
Dune
it. I'm not
there's some great characters in Dune Messiah, man. I can't wait for Bajazz on the screen.
I got some reading I'm going to catch up with before I ever get to any of these Dune books, which is me saying I'm never
going to read these books. I'm going to see some Guild Navigators, going to see some Golas, going to see some Stoneburners.
No vagina whales in this one.
No, I mean, there's the Guild Navigators. Yeah.
But they look
I can't wait to see what they look like in Denny's version.